Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we welcome back our friend, Carolyn Eastfold. And Carolyn's been so faithful to be our Bible study facilitator and help us understand the names of God. Thanks so much, Carolyn, for joining us here once again on Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's always a joy to talk to you and explore together with you how God has revealed himself through his names as he's gone through the Bible and named different names that we can call him by and claim him and understand his character all the better.
He's such a big God. It takes so many names to cover really his person. And today we're actually going to have two. We're going to be looking at two of the names of God because they are related.
Today we're going to talk about the two names of God that are both translated Lord in our English Bibles. So if we get a good understanding of what these two names mean, I think it can be a real life changer. The first one is Yahweh, or as we usually say, Jehovah, and the second one is Adonai. Two different names, but both translated Lord in our English Bibles. So we can discern the difference, we can enjoy the richness of their meanings. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I want you to just think about our world that we live in. We live in an upside-down world, don't we? We are told to look out for number one, to be assertive, to be your own boss, to be a servant is even considered to be kind of a negative and self-defacing thing. Mm. But today we're going to look at how submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ is just the opposite. We come under his wings, he brings us blessing and protection. Mm. I read a quote recently that says, instead of striving to do what we want when we want, we will strive to do what he wants when he wants. And as we do, we begin to understand that his lordship will not diminish or impoverish us, but it will bless us in surprising ways. So do you think it's possible that we can actually be astonished by all the good that he can do in us and through us if we will just submit to his lordship?
Just as you were speaking on that, Carolyn, I just saw myself bowing down before him, bowing my heart before him. And that is just as a human being in our own flesh, it's just so antithetical to, you know, what the flesh wants, to submit, to humble ourselves and to admit that we are nothing apart from him. But you know what? It feels so good to do that.
So the two words, Yahweh or Jehovah, the difference we can tell because in our Bibles, that word Yahweh will be translated all in capital letters, capital L, capital O, R, D. Oftentimes the first letter is a big letter and then the other ones are in small caps. And while Adonai is translated Lord with only the capital L and then the lowercase ORD. So let me repeat that. Yahweh is translated in all caps, while Adonai is translated with only the first letter capitalized. Mm. So that's how we can read the difference. And I know it's confusing, but there is a reason for that. We have to go back to the Jewish people who were wishing to honor the law of not taking the Lord's name in vain. They would not pronounce the name Yahweh because that was God's intimate name. They wouldn't say it aloud, so they would render it Lord instead. But sometimes in the original Hebrew, they'll actually use both the names together, Adonai, Yahweh. So in our translation, it would read Lord, Lord, and that's really confusing. So to make it clearer, most of our translations will read Lord God, or some say Sovereign Lord, when the two words are together, Adonai, Yahweh. So that's just a little word of clarification. So let's look at what Yahweh means. It comes from a Hebrew word for he is or I am. Remember back when God met Moses at the burning bush,
yeah,
and he commanded him to go back into Egypt and lead the people out of slavery? And Moses asked, well, who should I say sent me? And this is what God said, I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all the generations. So Yahweh is that covenant name of God that he said he wanted to be known by forever. I am who I am. That tells us that he is self-existent. He is life. He's the essence of life and not dependent on anything else, for life is in him himself. But he also says that he is present with his people, and he intervenes in history on behalf of his people. So it's that covenant relationship that is most often associated with his saving them out of slavery in Egypt and back in the book of Exodus. So Yahweh actually means the self-existent one, I am. Yahweh is used more than 6,800 times. And appears in every book in the Old Testament except Esther, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And it is a sacred personal name of Israel's God. And so eventually, no one would speak it out loud except the priest when they were worshiping in the temple. And after the destruction of the temple, it was not spoken aloud at all. And they would usually render the name either Lord or Adonai. And so that's how we kind of got our name Yahweh. Because originally it was just formed by four Hebrew consonants, YHWH. But that was hard to pronounce for us. So back in the 10th century, I think it was, the scholars took the name, the vowels from the name Adonai, and they inserted them in the consonants in the YHWH and came with the name Yahweh. And then it wasn't even until much later, the Middle Ages, when the word Jehovah actually came into to use. So that's how we understand our word for God, the Hebrew covenant name, the intimate name of God is Yahweh. So we know that the names of God reveal his character. Proverbs 18:10, you know, our verse says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and is safe. So we want to understand, what does Yahweh reveal about the nature of God? And so, well, there are 6,800 times it's mentioned, so I just picked a few, and I'm just going to go through some verses very kind of quickly, summarize them. The character of Yahweh. In Proverbs 3:26, it says, he is our confidence. Proverbs 18:10 said he is our strong tower. Exodus 34:6, and God is actually talking to Moses, and he's describing himself to Moses. And I was reading this description, and I thought, we should match up. What is our vision of God? How does it match God's description of himself? Because a lot of people fear God in such a way that they think he is tyrannical, that he's just waiting for us to mess up, and then he comes down hard on us. But this is what he says about himself. He said he is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So he's compassionate and he's forgiving, but yet he's also just. So there's a lot in those verses as God describes himself. Psalm 32:10 says, he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. So if we're trusting in him, in his name, in the person of Jesus Christ, his loving kindness surrounds us. His loyal love surrounds us. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, he delivered me from all my fears. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. In Matthew, we find Jesus describing himself. He said, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then in John, he's talking to Philip, and he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is telling us that he is one with the Father. He is Yahweh. He is the eternal I am. And if we see Jesus, we're going to see the gentle and humble in heart. And that's who our God is. That's who Yahweh is. So whenever we feel like we don't know that God is really there and he's not really keeping his promises, or maybe he doesn't love us anymore, or whatever we may be thinking, we have that assurance that he is here. He does keep his promises. He can never change. We waver in our promises to him, but he never goes back on his promises. So that's when we can run to Jehovah, run to Yahweh. We can trust in his name. It can't change because he can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is his name that he wants to be known by forever, Yahweh. Very personal name.
I think about that one verse, Carolyn. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so it's so rich in that, what are we calling on? We're calling on his kindness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his justice. We're calling on that. We're depending on that because that, who is it? So that's just really opening up just this whole rich area of his name and what that means, you know, for me, for us.
So let's go back then and take a look at the other name that's translated Lord, and that's Adonai. And it comes from a word, well, it's actually the plural of Adon, which is a kind of a polite name. Like we would use it like the name Sir in respect to someone. Mm. So this is a plural of it, and it always refers to God being our master, the Lord, the master. The first use of that name we find in Genesis 15:2. That's when God was reaffirming his promise to Abraham that he had promised him a nation, a land, a people, many descendants, and that his descendants would be a blessing to all the nations, which we know, of course, Jesus Christ is that blessing to all the nations. So this is a name, Adonai, that implies a relationship. He is our master. We are his servants. So if he's the master, let's look at, well, what's he master over? What's he lord over? Again, just going through some verses. Deuteronomy 9:26. I prayed to the Lord, Adonai, and said, O Lord God. So they're used together, Adonai, Yahweh. O Lord God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So here Moses is, he's pleading for God not to destroy the disobedient Israelites, and he's interceding for them. And he's recognizing that Adonai is the Lord over the nation Israel, its history and all the events in its history. And I really like this one in Psalm 2. It says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. And I think we see the nations in an uproar now. And so we can take a kind of confidence in this, because in verse 4, how does God react to all the nations being in an uproar? He who sits in the heavens laughs. Adonai scoffs at them because he knows he is the Lord over all the nations. And they're just shaking their little fists in the face of mighty God. It's like a group of ants shaking their fists at a giant. It just doesn't even compare. The Lord knows the end, and he's not upset by it, but like we are when we see the nations in an uproar and turmoil. Psalm 8, wonderful psalm, says, O Lord, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. And this goes on to talk about the works of his hands, how he made the stars and the skies and the earth and the animals and the birds and mankind. So we see that he is Lord over nature and he is Lord over man. In Psalm 37, it says, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. And here we find the Lord laughing again. It says in verse 13, and Adonai laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. Adonai is Lord over the wicked, over the evil people. Psalm 135:5 says, I know that the Lord is great, Yahweh is great, and that our Lord, Adonai, is above all gods. And then Psalm 136 says, give thanks to Adonai, master of all, Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So there's just a few things about what Adonai, our God, is Lord over. It just covers everything, all of creation, all of the world, all of history, all of the nations. There isn't one thing he's not master over. Now, it's interesting to read in Abraham's day about a bondservant or a slave, because we want to be bondservants to Christ, right? Mm. As the master of a bondservant, they take on certain responsibilities on themselves. Because a bondservant in Abraham's day was part of the family. The master totally provided for him, and it was the master's duty to protect and help his slave, even give him his day-to-day directions for living. They were part of the household, and if they were circumcised, they had the right to participate in the Passover celebration. Even if they were Gentiles, they were given the right of circumcision, who brought them under the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. The master over the bondservants had certain responsibilities he took upon himself to care for his bondservants. What do we learn about Adonai? We learn in some of these verses that I'm going to refer to, that he is our protector, he is our refuge, he is our sustainer. And that's responsibility he's taken on himself for us. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of Adonai came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you." So he is our shield. And then Joshua 1:9, he tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for Adonai, your God, is with you wherever you go." Psalm 3 says, "You are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying out to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, and I awoke, for Adonai, the Lord, sustains me." And then again we see in Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is my helper. Adonai is the sustainer of my soul." Psalm 62 just goes on and on. "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Adonai." And then Psalm 86. "But you, Adonai, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." So we just can see these wonderful qualities that our Adonai has as our protector, our refuge, our sustainer. In Psalm 145, it says, "The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." That really made me stop and appreciate the fact that we are bondservants to someone who loves us and cares for us and guides us through life. But as servants, we have responsibilities too. And we saw some of these in some of these verses. "My eyes are towards you." Just like a slave looks to his master for direction, my eyes are to be on Jesus, on getting our direction from Adonai. And in Joshua, our responsibility is to be strong and courageous because we know he's with us. I really like this, the story of Nehemiah and it's found in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, when Judah was taken captive into the Babylonian Empire, and then it was taken over by the Medo-Persians. And then the Persian ruler, Cyrus, told the people they could go back into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And Nehemiah went in to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem to protect the city. And he had Israelites, you know, working on their part of the wall. But they had a problem with his enemies would come on them, and they would mock them and make fun of them, and they'd make fun of God and mock God and say, "Your God isn't any better than these other gods." It didn't save their people. And the people became discouraged. So what did Nehemiah do as their leader? This is what he said. "When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember Adonai, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." So Nehemiah, to encourage the demoralized people, he didn't remind them of who they were, saying, "Hey, we are Israelites. We can do this." Like we sometimes do, like we're Americans. We can do anything. You know, it's not that at all. He said, "Remember who your Adonai is. He is great and awesome. And then go and fight." So he's reminding them who their God is, and that's what we need to do. We keep in mind in who we are serving, who our God is, how mighty and powerful he is, and then we can go and do what he asks us to do. In Psalm 136, it says to give thanks to the Lord of Lords, to Adonai, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then in Philippians, we're encouraged to remember to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, because he was in the form of God, but he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he took the form of man, of a bondservant, and even humbled himself to the place of dying on the cross. And so that's our example of humility, and not exalting ourselves, but being humble bondservants, as Christ served us and served God the Father. And then Jesus himself said in John 13:3, "You call me teacher and Adonai, and you are right, for so I am. And if I then, Adonai and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you should do as I did to you. A slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who sent you is greater than the one who sent him." So if we can understand the implications of Adonai as master and Yahweh as the eternal, self-existent God that he is, and we know that we serve a God that loves us, a master that loves us, We don't need to be afraid that he's going to take advantage of us, mm-hmm. like human masters sometimes do take advantage of their slaves. Jesus will never do that. He will not ask us to do something that we absolutely cannot do. But when we realize who he is, Adonai, then we can stop worrying about who we are or what we lack or what we can't do, because we can just be freed to do what he asks us to do, knowing that he will give us the strength and the grace that we need to do what he asks. We know that a promise is only as good as the one who makes them. And so if we remember that our God is Yahweh, the self-sufficient one, the great I am, we can be assured that he will keep his promises. He's eternally unchanging. He's our covenant-keeping God who cannot lie. And so even when there's turmoil around us, we can still be at rest in who he is and find that peace that Jesus said passes understanding.
I'm just reflecting on some of the things you've been saying. And so as we take him as our Lord, he takes us on as his priority, as his responsibility. So I love that sense of we're not just out there doing our own thing, but we are now under his cover, his care. I think of what Mary said, I am your bondservant in response. And wow, look what she got to be involved in. So that's just kind of exciting. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much. You gave us good information to chew on. And now as we go through our day, we can call on the name of Yahweh, our strong tower, as well as Adonai, who is our loving, kind, and gracious, and involved God. And that's just a beautiful thought to send us on our day. Thanks so much again for being a part of our Mark and Friends.
It is a privilege, Donna. Thank you so much. And I have enjoyed, I'm so excited about these two names of God, because I do think it can change how we live our lives if we realize who he is.
You're listening to Mark and Friends with our Bible facilitator, Carolyn Eastfold. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Hope you have a great day.